Welcome back. I'm Ian Masters, and this is Background Briefing. And joining us now is Melvin Goodman, who's a senior fellow at the Center for International Policy and a professor of government at Johns Hopkins University. His 42-year government career included service at the CIA, State Department, Defense Department, and the U.S. Army. In 1991, he's one of three former CIA officials to testify before the Senate against the nomination of Robert Gates as director of Central Intelligence on the grounds that he had slanted intelligence to suit policy. He's the author of Failure of Intelligence, The Decline and Fall of the CIA, and his latest book is National Insecurity, The Cost of American Militarism. Welcome to Background Briefing, Melvin Goodman.
Hello, Ian. Good to be with you again.
And it looks as if the CIA and the Oversight Committee, the Senate Intelligence Committee, are at loggerheads here, trading accusations and denials. Senator Feinstein, the head of the Senate Intelligence Committee, on Tuesday has alleged that the CIA was trying to intimidate Congress and may have broken the law in spying on Senate staffers, in effect hacking into their work. This is pretty unusual, isn't it?
I think it's extremely unusual. It may even be unprecedented in terms of the chairman of the Senate Intelligence Committee, Dianne Feinstein, who has not been a strong chairman, by the way, willing to take on the CIA director on this issue of the torture report, interrogation report, and what the CIA really thinks about that report, because it turns out there's two CIA views. The Panetta report seems to correspond with what the Senate was saying, and then a later report done under Brennan is challenging the Senate's views on whether the torture was done and whether it was effective. So this could get very ugly, and the fact that the Justice Department is investigating both claims, the CIA's claim that the Senate operated maybe illegally looking at files that they weren't permitted to look at, and then whether or not the CIA was doing its own bit of sleuthing in looking at what the Senate Intelligence Committee was really up to.
But this 6,300-page report, which has cost the taxpayer $40 million and has been in the work for years, is being held up by the CIA, and particularly by Brennan. Is that the situation?
Even though Brennan testified when he was confirmed that he believed in greater transparency, he's playing the same games that other CIA directors have played. And obviously, they've got a very sticky wicket on this one. And the Senate is challenging everything the CIA has said about torture, about renditions, about erroneous renditions, about innocent people who were tortured. And I think the Senate must know how ugly and sadistic the torture activities were. And I think this was behind the destruction of the torture tapes as well. The CIA operative Jose Rodriguez, who destroyed 92 different torture tapes and was never held to account for it. So this is very nasty business. And fortunately, there are a couple senators led by Senator Mark Udall who's leading the fight, and I think holding Feinstein's feet to the fire and pressing the case against the CIA.
But presumably Senator Feinstein's got to stick up for her own staff, right? That's what it comes down to.
I think what we're seeing are some very stubborn members of the committee led by Udall and Wyden and Heinrich of New Mexico are trying to hold her feet to the fire because she has not been a vigorous watchdog of the CIA. But here, yes, I think she has to defend a 6,000-page report that took several years to prepare. And it's interesting to me that John Brennan, the CIA director, is saying that they didn't tap into the computers of the Senate Investigating Committee, but somehow they did learn about the Senate's access to a sensitive internal report. So obviously intelligence was collected against the committee. And I saw this happen in 1991 when I was testifying against Gates, the CIA director. There was a congressional liaison assigned to the Senate Intelligence Committee, but he was reporting back to the White House the very sensitive politics of the committee during the hearings. And I imagine there's been some penetration of the Senate committee staff by CIA figures.
Well, I remember in the early days of the committee, the Oversight Committee that came out of the Church hearings, you know, when Bill Colby sort of, you know, did endless testimony about uncovering all of the misdeeds and the so-called crown jewels of the CIA that led to an enormous amount of outrage and this whole regime that you have with the House and Senate Select Intelligence Committees. But I recall that after a while, there was a joke at the CIA that they referred to the committees as the mushroom farms, that we keep them in the dark and now and again throw manure on them.
Well, that wasn't true in the first 15 years. I thought from the mid-70s when the committees were created at the Senate and the House, these were pretty active, energetic committees. They were bipartisan. There were real luminaries in the Senate who were placed on these committees. But once David Boren resigned, the committee chairman from 1992, once he resigned from the Senate and went out to Oklahoma to be president of the University of Oklahoma, these committees have gotten very partisan under both Republicans like Pat Roberts and Democrats such as Dianne Feinstein. But I think this issue could be a real rallying cry because Lindsey Graham is now involved and is defending the committee. Carl Levin, who's an ex officio member of the committee, is defending the committee. And I think the activity of Udall and Wyden and others is going to force Dianne Feinstein to be very active against essentially a CIA penetration of the Oversight Committee. So how can you claim that you have a functioning democracy that's conducting oversight of a secret intelligence organization when the intelligence organization has actually penetrated the committee that's responsible for investigating it? So Brennan, I think, is in a real sticky mess because he doesn't have a lot of credibility with people anyway. That's why I fought him, and so did others as CIA director, because he's so close to the politics of the situation. This was true when he was close to Tenet, and they were conducting torture and abuse, which he never criticized, even though he claims he did. He never did. And now I think he's so close to Obama, he's been very protective of the drones of targeted assassinations. And now I think he's in a real bind on this torture report because it indicates the CIA was even lying to the Congress about what it was conducting in terms of torture and abuse, and more importantly, did it learn anything from it? The Senate report concludes that very little was learned, if anything, and I think there's an internal report, the so-called Panetta Review, that corroborates the Senate study.
Well, I recently interviewed Glenn Carl, who was a part of the CIA program working at a black site where they were using in torture on a suspect who was supposed to be number three in al-Qaeda, and Glenn learned right away that this guy was completely innocent, and he would keep going back to headquarters and saying, the guy is innocent, there's just, we shouldn't be doing this, and headquarters, I guess it was Rodriguez, would say, no, that's how they're trained, they're clever, you know, you got to ramp up the and enhance the interrogation even further. And eventually this poor guy was kept in a solitary cell, rotting away for years and years and years. And until Obama came in, one of the first things Obama did was release this guy, who turned out to be innocent all along.
Well, the German who was rendered, or more accurately called kidnapped in Macedonia and sent to Afghanistan, the CIA knew immediately that this was an erroneous rendition. But they wouldn't release him until Condoleezza Rice, who was the National Security Advisor at the time, interfered and told George Tenet this person had to be released immediately. And frankly, I think the only reason why that happened is because he was a German citizen. If he had been a Middle Eastern citizen, he could still be in an Afghan jail somewhere or in Guantanamo. And Rodriguez himself, since you mentioned Rodriguez, he's the one who destroyed 92 different videotapes of torture and abuse, because they would have revealed the sadistic nature of this torture. So I think Rodriguez determined, I think it's less risky to destroy the tapes and face the consequences than to let the American public or the American Congress see how sadistic these torture sessions were when they were carried out by the CIA. Remember, the FBI walked away from this interrogation program immediately when they saw what the CIA was doing. And the CIA was told by their FBI counterparts that this is wrong and it doesn't lead to good intelligence anyway, which anyone who's a professional in this field certainly knows.
No, I've interviewed Ali Soufrad, who was the FBI guy who finally went public with it and wrote an op-ed in the New York Times. And
the thing I would worry about now is the matter is in the hands of the Inspector General of the CIA, and he's been a company man from the start. Remember, Obama really weakened the institution of the Inspector General at the CIA. He left the position vacant for nearly 2 years after an old colleague and friend of mine, John Helgerson, did a very good job as the IG. Obama appointed no one to CIA or to the State Department, for that matter. And then David Buckley became the Inspector General with no real background in this kind of intelligence work whatsoever. So it remains to be seen how vigorous the CIA is going to be in getting at the bottom of this, particularly when you have a professional advocate like John Brennan, who's going to defend the White House and defend his institution and not really get to the bottom of this. It's up to the Senate Intelligence Committee now to really be a junkyard dog in holding the CIA's feet to the fire.
Well, presumably what's going on here is that the CIA just simply doesn't want this report to come out. They've been stalling it for so long, it's pretty obvious.
What's in that report has to be so sensitive that they're not even willing to allow a sanitized version or a declassified version to appear. And if we had a courageous occupant in the White House, President Obama would say to the CIA, I want the executive summary sanitized and released immediately to end this. Let the American public know what went on. Let the American public know whether it was effective or not. And let's have some responsibility and accountability in this matter. And President Obama could get this overnight with an executive order.
Well, already John Brennan, the CIA director, has dismissed what Senator Feinstein said, saying that we wouldn't do that. I mean, that's just beyond the scope of reason in terms of what we would do. But on the other hand, the fact that, as you pointed out, Feinstein's been fairly cautious and not exactly, she's not taken any risks, shall we say, and hasn't really held their feet to the fire. The fact that she made a fairly strong speech and was actually fairly impressive to the point, you know, where others, for example, Vermont Senator Patrick Leahy said that in his 40 years on the Senate, as a member of the Senate, this is the most important speech he's heard on the Senate floor in his 40 years as a member of the body. She, Feinstein, has spoken to our conscience now. Let's stand up for this country. So maybe maybe this is going to, you know, expand into a real movement here to hold their feet to the fire. What do you think?
It's possible that this could be a turning point. For one thing, there's bipartisan support. You mentioned Lindsey Graham. You've got people such as Senator Leahy, who has a lot of credibility among Democrats, of course, but also Republicans. You have Wyden and Udall being very active. And the new senator from New Mexico, Martin Heinrich, who at least is a new member to the committee, is clearly upset by what's happened. And I don't think Feinstein can walk away from this clash. For one thing, there's a federal act, the Computer Fraud and Abuse Act, that would make it a crime for the CIA to break into the Senate computers to look for the source of this review and how the Senate obtained it. And Brennan has restricted his remarks to computer fraud in terms of what he said the CIA wouldn't do. But it doesn't preclude that the CIA had a mole inside the committee, because they do have a liaison person from the Congressional Affairs Office who's always been assigned to the committee, both the Senate and the House committees. Someone found out that the Senate had access to a very sensitive review. And I think the CIA is playing rhetorical games here by saying it wasn't an analytical work, it was just a summary of various documents. Well, it was a very sensitive summary that clearly dealt with torture and abuse, erroneous renditions, and the fact that probably innocent people were tortured along with people that the CIA had reason to believe knew something about terrorism. So this finally, after all of these years, because, you know, this goes back to 2006, really, when pressure was building to do something to stop torture and abuse, which even Bush finally stopped before Obama came into office. Obama then closed down the secret prisons, but he hasn't ended renditions. The rendition program is still on the books. I doubt if it's in much use, because I don't think third world countries are willing to cooperate with us anymore. They were embarrassed about their involvement with these extraordinary renditions in the first place. So many European countries were taking part, and you had secret prisons all over the world, in Asia and Northern Africa and Eastern Europe. This could be a real turning point in finding out what happened in the global war on terror and how much unconscionable activity the CIA was engaged in.
Well, just in closing, Mel Goodman, back in a Senate Intelligence Committee hearing on November the 9th, Senator Udall asked CIA Director John Brennan directly whether the CIA was a party to the Computer Fraud Act that you referenced a little while ago, to which John Brennan replied, "I'll get back to you on that."
Yeah, I think that question had to make him extremely nervous, and that's why I think his response was limited to the field of computer fraud. It didn't preclude someone being a mole inside the Senate committee who informed the CIA that this very sensitive review was in their hands. This is what I think set off all of the alarm bells, because it contradicts everything not only that the CIA has been saying, but the White House has been saying about the nature of the renditions program and the torture and abuse. So this is incredibly provocative stuff.
But the president has shown that he wants to have really good relations with the CIA and essentially, you know, turn a blind eye because he feels he needs them in this so-called war on terror. Is that the problem?
He did the wrong thing from the very beginning when he said, "We're not going to look in the rearview mirror, we're going to look ahead." And I think with that, his total commitment to transparency, which was very important in the campaign in 2007-2008, really became an illusion once he was the president. So the historical record on this is not going to look good for the way Obama's handled whistleblowers, the way he's handled leaks, the way he's misused the Espionage Act against someone such as Thomas Drake. I mean, the list goes on and on and on. And I think if the president were smart at this point, when really he's in the last few years of his second term and should be thinking about his legacy, he should remember his original commitment to liberty and to transparency and get to the bottom of this. And the easy way to do that is to release an executive summary of the Senate's report and to release the internal review, the 122-page review, and let the American people decide for themselves what went on, what was legal and what was illegal, and certainly what was immoral.
Well, Mel Goodman, I thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you. Good to be with you, Ian.
Again, I've been speaking with Melvin Goodman, who is a senior fellow at the Center on International Policy and a professor of government at Johns Hopkins University. His 42-year government career included service at the CIA, State Department, Defense Department, and the U.S. Army. In 1991, he was one of three former CIA officials to testify before the Senate against the nomination of Robert Gates as Director of Central Intelligence on the grounds that he had slanted intelligence to suit policy. He's the author of Failure of Intelligence, The Decline and Fall of the CIA, and his latest book is National Insecurity, The Cost of American Militarism. We're going to take a brief station break and be back discussing how much the oligarchs in the new Gilded Age are getting off lightly.